Let's pray again this morning. I want to pray for us before we handle today's topic. Father, I come to you on behalf of us, and Lord, I would just pray right now, first of all, that you would engage our hearts in this prayer. Because I want this to be our prayer, Lord, not mine. And Father, we desperately need to ask your help today. As children who dwell in the kingdom, who are grateful for our King. Lord, people who you have, truly, God, you have broken us out of the ashes and shown us your beauty. And we trade your beauty for the ashes of legalism, of righteousness in the way that it's defined, God, by religion. We recognize, God, that there is nothing there that would draw our spirits to hunger and thirst. But your beauty, God, we hunger and thirst for that. And so today, as we talk about hungering and thirsting for righteousness, I pray by your Spirit's power that you will not allow the old paradigms of legalism to sneak back in. Father, that you would bind the enemy from causing us to think about this in the wrong way. But instead, God, that you would engage our hearts by your Spirit and help us to gain new insight today. Father, that we would recognize what your Spirit is doing in us in drawing us to you and in drawing us to righteousness and holiness, that which we were created for. But Father, we need you today to take our hearts of stone and make them yours, to transition our hearts, God, so that righteousness becomes what we desire, Lord. And we're thankful for the gift of Jesus and the Holy Spirit that will accomplish this today as we study. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, I wanted to pray today because I'll be honest with you guys. As I've studied righteousness this week, there's been so much, or really the last few weeks, there's been so much oppressiveness, I guess, that comes with this topic. There are a lot of ideas about what it means to be righteous and holy. And where that holiness and righteousness comes from is what I'm concerned about. So I'm not going to preach today with the hopes that by my preaching, you guys are going to go out and work really hard to become righteous and holy. Everybody understand that? Say, oh, yeah. Okay. We want to engage the Holy Spirit today and understand, where does righteousness come from? It's obvious that this is one of the characteristics of those who are children who live and dwell in the kingdom of God. Jesus looked at the people that he was preaching to, people who had made a decision to follow him, who were drawn to him. And because of that, they were listening for what he had to say about life, and what he had to say about the life that they would live and that they were living. And they were fascinated by the fact that Jesus was constantly opposing what they thought he should be embracing, and that was the religion of his day. And so here are these people who are saying, we understand that there's something different about your teaching. It grabs us. It grabs us deep in our hearts. It's not something that we've heard before, but it's something that resonates in us like it's something that belongs there. And the teaching that Jesus was teaching was drawing them in such a way that people were following him. Crowds of people were following him from all of the different towns and regions of this area where Jesus was teaching. And so they gather together, and Jesus is teaching them these lessons that are teachings about the kingdom of God. Right? And so in the process of teaching about what the kingdom of God is like, Jesus is teaching them, understanding that they all have, they're coming from different places. Some of them are coming from a place of no religion whatsoever, no background whatsoever in religious understanding or in the law of the day. But the majority of them are coming from the background of having a lot of religion and a lot of legalism and false teaching, really. Using the law of God, but teaching it the wrong way. And so Jesus is redefining for them the truth. And one of the things I'm really, really hoping that God will do through this study is redefine for us, because we are as desperate in our need for an understanding of the truth about God and how to live our lives in response to his movement in our lives and the person that we're discovering. We desperately need a change of motivation. And so today we're going to talk about this beatitude. Jesus says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. But we need to recognize and understand where that comes from. I love the fact that we have new believers in our church that have just become believers in the last few weeks. And then some that have become believers in the last few, within this last year, who really have never had this background in religion, and it's so pure, their motive to live for God and to want to do for God, to want to be righteous. And the righteousness comes from a pure place. It doesn't come from being taught what righteousness is by man. It comes from a heart that's been transformed, a heart of stone that's been taken out, and they, for the first time in their lives, are seeing the beauty of God and responding to that. That's pure. That's what God desires from us. Before the foundations of the world, God's predestined plan for us was that we would live holy and blameless lives as a response to our Father, as sons and daughters who've been adopted by Him, that we would live holy and blameless lives. So our holiness and our righteousness, this hunger and thirst that comes from righteousness, I love the fact that he uses hunger and thirst. And a lot of times we move right past that and go right into righteousness. And what does it look like? And then what we do is we walk out of our time together in the Word, and we go out and try to be righteous. And we feel guilty, and guilt becomes our motivator. And that's the total opposite of what he's doing here in this passage. These people are already motivated. That's why they're following Jesus. They're already motivated by what they see in him, by what they hear him saying. They're motivated by that. And my prayer today is that we'll be motivated by what we see in Jesus, in the scriptures, and what we have experienced of him by his Holy Spirit in our lives. Let that be our motivation. And if we're going to work for anything, let's work for that. Let's work with God to get our motivation right, to discover the reality of who he is, so that we are, from our hearts, motivated to walk with God. That's a promise that God has given us, that God has said he would give us. This is something we can claim. All the Old Testament scriptures and passages that talk about Jesus and what he would do in our lives, they're pointing to this. They're pointing to this relationship and how our relationship with God would motivate us towards obedience. And I think we all understand what righteousness is. I do want to talk about it just a minute this morning before we talk about hungering and thirsting after it. Not because we're going to leave the hungering and thirsting part. That's where we're going to focus. But what is righteousness? Righteousness is holiness. It's God, really. It's his character. It's righteous in its motivation. It's righteous in its action. Righteousness is God. And when he speaks to this group, he's speaking of two particular things that they would have in mind. Number one would be the righteousness of God, which would be perfection. They had that in mind. Throughout the Old Testament, they understood that blessing came whenever they obeyed what God said. So it's obedience to the law. They understood that. But God's demand and his justice required perfection. And they never reached that. And very few of them even would strive for that. There's so many times, the broken record of the Old Testament is, again, Israel did evil in the eyes of the Lord. And there's just a few kings and a few judges and a few prophets that would be living righteous lives. And the people would be experiencing God vicariously through these prophets as they obeyed what God said. And there was a hunger, though, and a thirst in them to be righteous because they knew that this perfection would bring on the blessing of God. And so they understood that. And the second thing was that their understanding of Jesus and their walking with him caused them to want to live for him. There's a righteousness that was happening as Jesus, in his relationship with the disciples and his followers, their hearts were being transformed by their walking with him, by their relationship with him. Which also points to us and the Holy Spirit, our relationship with the Holy Spirit, and how he changes our hearts from the inside and gives us a desire from the inside to live a righteous life. And both of those were met in Jesus. Look at Romans chapter 8, and I want to use this as one of our texts for today. Paul describes this to the church at Rome, this transformation that happens. Really, both of these, the perfection that's required is met in Romans chapter 8. That description is there. And then also this desire that comes for righteousness, for our holy life, to live as God, to be like God, to have his character, to walk as he walks. Y'all ready for this morning? Say, uh-huh. All right, let's go. Romans chapter 8, 1 through 14. Stay with me in the text, if you will. Look, I'm going to read it, and here's what happens a lot of times. When I read text, our minds go to sleep. I'm going to ask you to do this. Stay in the text with me, okay? What we're looking at here is, where does holiness and righteousness come from? Holiness and righteousness, first of all, perfection that's required by God. Where does it come from? Second of all, a heart that desires to live a righteous life. Where does it come from? Okay, let's find it in the text together. There's therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, for the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. By sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. So then, brothers, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. So here's his description of righteousness. First of all, the righteousness of God, the righteous requirement of the law has been fully met in us through Christ Jesus. God made him to become sin for us so that we could be made the righteousness of God in him. So God's requirement for perfection that these people were hungering and thirsting for, that history has caused, history with God, the Israelite people, has caused them to hunger for. This perfection that they could never reach, that Paul describes in chapter 7 of Romans so well, this struggle between the flesh and the Spirit, has been fully met in Christ. Understand that, church. Listen, before we talk about righteous acts and holiness, that's manifested in our bodies, in our mortal bodies, as we live in this world. Before we talk about living right, being right, doing right, understand this. The righteous requirements of the law have been fully met in us who belong to Christ Jesus. Done. Finished. When God looks at you, he sees perfect. Not because of you, because of Christ. Okay? The world is hungering and thirsting for that. The world is hungering and thirsting to have the righteousness of God met. It doesn't matter what religion you read about, study, or you're a part of, whether it's Christian or not, every one of these religions understands that we need somebody to step in for us, that we are depraved as a human race. And we need God to step in for us, and our soul longs for that. And so the answer, the good answer today from God's word is this: the righteous requirements of the law, God's justice has been satisfied in Christ for us. Now, some people would take that and say, well, then it doesn't matter how I live. I've received Christ. I believe in him. His blood has washed my sins away, so it doesn't matter how I live. If that's your attitude, according to what we've read here in chapter 8, you probably don't know the Lord. You probably have never really had an encounter with the Holy Spirit. Because here's what happens when the Holy Spirit comes to live in us. The second kind of righteousness happens. This righteousness where our minds become set on the things of the Spirit. Our minds are not set on the things of the flesh anymore. The Spirit lives in us. And because the Spirit lives in us, our heart is transformed. Our spirit has come to life. We no longer desire the things of this world. Now, it doesn't mean that flesh doesn't still do what flesh does. I still have habits in this physical flesh. We've talked about that. I still have habits, that ways of thinking that I need to retrain my mind to think in different ways according to what my spirit desires. But the core of who we are, our spirit has been transformed. Our minds have been transformed. We no longer live by the flesh. We live by the Spirit. All of us, if you've been transformed, you live by the Spirit. So Jesus says to these people, blessed are you who hunger and thirst after righteousness. Now, they didn't have the Spirit living in them to help them to desire this righteousness, but they had Jesus. And they could, and it was their relationship with Jesus, the same as our relationship with the Spirit. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, they're all the same. In that relationship with Jesus, their hearts were being transformed. And so we're being sanctified from the inside out. And so this hunger and thirst for righteousness, understand what that is. It's hunger and thirst is something that happens on the inside. Now, it just makes sense based on the things that we've talked about. These other Beatitudes that we've already talked about, being poor in spirit and mourning our sin and our sinfulness, and desiring greatly for God to change that, and this meekness of attitude and spirit, because we recognize we are spiritually bankrupt. Listen, since a child of the kingdom sees himself in this way, since we see ourselves as totally bankrupt righteously, as far as our righteousness is concerned, since we literally mourn over our past sins, that's what we do, those of us who have been transformed, because they're contrary to God's righteousness. Then it stands to reason that the same heart that's been changed to hate sin, to see our bankruptcy before God, it makes sense to me that same heart would long for righteousness. It's the thing that replaces those things that we hate now, that we don't desire to live in anymore. I'm talking about our spiritual life. And God's promise to us is that he will fill our lives with righteousness. We shall be filled and sanctified. God's Spirit changes our hearts and gives us a desire for righteousness, and then fills our lives with righteousness by his sanctification, right? He fills our hearts with desire by changing our hearts, fills our hearts with desire for righteousness, and then he gives us the righteousness that we long for. And so God does this transformational work in the children who are part of his kingdom. And that's described there in that passage in Romans chapter 8. And so my encouragement to us today is that we allow this transformation to happen in our lives. God's desire is to transform us and to give us what we hunger and thirst for. Now let's talk about hunger for a minute. Hunger and thirsting, I love this illustration because these are functions of the body, right, that we don't even have to think about. I know I don't have to think about it very much. I hunger, right? I hunger a lot. I don't thirst as much. Some people thirst a lot more than I do. And I do thirst for coffee pretty regularly, but hunger and thirst is something you can't go without. It's not like you have to even make a conscious decision. If you go long enough without food or water, your body is going to cause you to desire that because your body needs that for fuel to function, right? We've got to have water and food to be able to function. And so literally, our bodies crave these things. Our bodies create craving for this. Food. There's a hormone in our bodies when our stomachs are empty that's released by the inner lining of our stomach. It's a chemical called ghrelin. And so when our stomach gets empty, this chemical is released in our stomach, and that's when your stomach starts growling, right? And you feel that desire to eat. Your stomach is telling you it's time to eat because your stomach knows God's created your stomach to tell you and to cause you to have desire for food so that the rest of the functions of the body can take place as you feed it. That's an inside-out kind of thing. When we go on a diet and we try to starve ourselves, I don't know what happens for you, but here's what happens for me. I beat everybody, first of all, in the house. I kick the dog. And then there's some other things that go on in my stomach. When that stuff starts telling me it tells me I'm hungry, which when I go on a diet, it's usually about every 30 minutes that my stomach starts telling me I need something to eat. But literally, our bodies, when it starts, when that ghrelin chemical is released in our stomach, it's progressive in its intensity. And it's about every 30 minutes there's a release of that chemical in our stomachs to tell us to eat. So when you're trying to eat less or you decide I'm going on a diet, what happens? Here's what happens at my house and in my life is I don't eat when I normally would eat. And that chemical is released in my stomach and tells me I'm hungry and I try to ignore it and say, no, I'm not really hungry. I'm fat, not hungry. I got enough food right in here in the edges. My body ought to be able to survive, but my stomach doesn't agree with that. And it continues to produce this chemical with more intensity. Every 30 minutes or so, I feel this intense desire to go and eat. And then all of a sudden, now something spiritual happens. I don't know if it's spiritual, but it's something that happens. And because my mind begins to say, everything, tell me all the things that I like. Right? And everything I see, I want. It doesn't matter what it is. Broccoli, I'll eat broccoli. If my stomach starts doing this enough. The intensity increases, and you get the picture. And so this internal thing happens. And I desire food, man. I desire it because my body needs it to function. That's supposed to happen. I've been created to function that way. So have you. Thirst is the same thing. There's a chemical that's released by our bodies, ADH. I don't remember what it stands for, but it's a hormone that's released also in your body that causes you to desire water. Because your body needs water. Your body needs water to in the blood to begin to flush out all the junk in your body. And salt, by the way, causes that hormone to be released in a more intense way. So if I'm taking in salt or if I'm sweating from exercise, I become more thirsty. That's my body telling me I need more water. That stuff is fascinating to me, first of all, because it's just cool to think that God creates our bodies to function that way. If those of you who are biologists or scientists or nurses or doctors or whatever, I mean, you get a chance to really see the beauty of what God does and the power of God in creation. But that transfers. Listen, God knew that. He knew that about our bodies. And though we might not have understood the hormones and all that stuff, and I don't understand it either. I just gave you a brief description. But we know that happens on the inside. Our bodies were created to crave food and water. In the same way, In the same way, when Paul told us in Ephesians chapter 1 that we were predestined to be holy and blameless, it wasn't something that was intended to happen from the outside. It wasn't something that we were supposed to strive to do apart from this internal desire to do it. It's God has recreated us by His Spirit so that we crave righteousness and holiness. He's recreated us on the inside, our spirits, our hearts. All these beautiful descriptions are used in the Bible to help us understand this is something that comes from the inside. It's not something you should have to be motivated on the outside to do. Matter of fact, it's very awkward when people are trying to tell you you should eat more when you really are not hungry. It's weird. And people who have to be told to eat to sustain life are called sick. Right? I mean, we understand that. If somebody is not eating to sustain life, then there's some problems with that person. They're not living according to the way that their psychological and physical being is supposed to operate. We recognize that. And we should recognize the same is true in the spiritual life. If we don't desire to be righteous and holy and to live a blameless life and to be like God, if that's not coming from our hearts, that's not normal. That's not natural. And you need to go to God and ask questions about that. God, why am I not craving this righteousness and holiness? Why don't I desire that? Because if you've been transformed according to this passage in chapter 8, those of us and men and the rest of the New Testament, by the way, if we don't desire righteousness and holiness, then there's something wrong on the inside. We call that sick, spiritually sick. It may be spiritually dead. And our spirits need to be brought to life by the Holy Spirit. And that's the first question to ask the Lord about your life. Am I spiritually dead? Or do I need to be brought to life by the Holy Spirit? But if those desires are in you, then my encouragement to you is to walk like a child of the kingdom, man, agree with the Spirit and pursue holiness and righteousness. Do what your heart desires to do. I don't want to talk you into living a righteous life. Because if I do that, I'm like that person who's encouraging you to remain sick, right? I'm putting a Band-Aid on a deeper problem. How weird is it if a person doesn't want to eat and I'm stuffing food down their throats and holding their nose until they swallow? That's weird. It's not the solution to the problem. The solution to the problem is trying to figure out how you can get their bodies to create some of this chemical, right, that causes them to hunger and thirst on their own. And God is not trying to stuff food down our throats. He's not trying to stuff righteousness down our throats. He's not trying to cause us to swallow a big pitcher full of righteousness and hold our nose until we drink it down. That's a false picture of our God. God is working in our hearts to transform our hearts to desire the righteousness that we want. Y'all with me on that? He's transforming our hearts to live the righteousness that we want. So it needs to be us wanting it. You can act righteous, but if you're not living by what you desire, there's a problem. If from the very core of what God created in you or recreated in you, there's a problem. And so I want us to walk with God in this way. Listen, I know that Satan is trying to deceive us. And here's what he does. Let's look at a couple of other verses together real quickly. Because the enemy needs to be, his work needs to be revealed. Here's what he wants us to do. His distractions from hunger and thirst is to get us to focus on this life instead of the spiritual life. Matthew chapter 6 is a beautiful passage. I encourage you guys to go read the whole chapter and just get into the middle of it, because you see a lot of distractions that is addressed by Jesus there. But in chapter 6, verse 33, he says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious," in verse 34, "do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." So the very first thing he talks about is something that we do. We get so focused on our own provision, on our needs being met, right? We become selfish and self-centered, and we worry about ourselves, all the things that we try to maintain, and is it going to be provided, and are we going to get it quickly enough? And then our lives become centered around those things. I don't have time to pursue the righteousness of God because I'm pursuing my own needs. It takes so many different forms. But, you know, in my life, it's things that I know I need to be doing to pursue righteousness that I already have a desire in my heart to do. And yet I find myself dealing with trivial things. I shared a couple of weeks ago about how I got distracted and focused on the wrong thing. And God brought my heart back to where my focus needed to be, is on his righteousness. Right? But we get so focused on our needs that, and God, are you going to meet my needs? God, are you going to meet my needs? God, are you going to meet my needs? Instead of, Lord, my heart desires to be like you. I want to be worry-free because that's your character. I want peace because that's who you are. I want to be dependent on you and your faithfulness because you are faithful. And we get so distracted by just focusing on the things that we're trying to provide for ourselves. Or sometimes it's just the fact that we're working like dogs all the time. And we're so busy working and producing so that we can have more stuff. And we lose our focus on why we're here and what our heart really desires. And so we're miserable Christians living our lives unsatisfied because we're pursuing these provisions that God intends to give us as we focus on his righteousness and his kingdom. And then in chapter 6 also, a few verses earlier, Jesus says this in verse 19 through 21. "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Man, I was so convicted by this idea when God put it on my mind and heart. And I hope you will be too. Not guilty, just convicted. That this is what our heart desires. You know, my heart desires God. I want to know him. I definitely want to be like him. That's my heart. I know that. But here's what Satan does. He gets me so distracted that I begin to spend all of my time and pursuits still doing the things that cause my flesh to have pleasure. When in reality, if I would pursue his righteousness, my flesh would enjoy that as well. You know, there's so much pleasure in walking with God. But I'm constantly distracted by these other things. Now, I want to share a few words in closing, just from my heart. Things that I've struggled with this week. And that's never a good thing when I usually come down and want to share my heart, okay? Because it's tough. And this is just being vulnerable and real. And the elders and I are going to talk about this Tuesday night. But here's where I feel like I am and what I see in our body. It's my job to say these things, okay? I really don't think that we have a hunger and thirst for righteousness. I mean, we have it, but I don't think we're really pursuing that. I don't think we're really going after that. I still see us in so many ways pursuing things of this world, things that we're... that we've always, you know, we're just not really focused on the kingdom of God. We're enjoying our freedom, which we have in Christ. And here's my dilemma for me personally first, and then also for how do I minister to you in this. My dilemma is this. I want to move your heart towards God. I want to move your heart to love him more. I want to move your heart to desire him more. I want to move your heart to desire righteousness because I know if I can move your heart that way, then that's God's will. Here's what I don't want to do. I don't want to move your actions to a certain place if your heart's not going there too. And boy, that is a hard tension for me. Does that make sense to everybody? Because, you know, in the past, I didn't care about your heart, really. I cared about your actions. It was always nice to have your heart involved. But do I just preach to talk to you guys like, you know, you need to be doing this, you need to be doing this. What's the matter with you? You know, you're supposed to be a leader. You're supposed to be a Christian. You're supposed to be whatever. You know, no, I'm not doing that. I'm not going there. But what I do want us to do is pursue God with all that we are. I just don't see it. I really don't. And I could be wrong, but I feel like I need to say this morning. I don't see us pursuing God with all that we are. I don't see us making the best effort we have to do what our heart desires, and that's to love God, to know God, to pursue God. I mean, we've said it 100 different ways. I can say it over again, but immerse ourselves in the Word of God. Learn to be sensitive moment by moment to the Spirit's leadership and follow what He says in obedience, discovering the reality of who God is. You know, my fear of even saying this morning is that you're going to go away and feel guilty and try really hard to live right. I think I've said that enough. You know that's not what we're after, right? But man, let's pursue God with everything that we are. I mean, I think we're doing a good job of pursuing each other. We do that well. Of pursuing, this is a good pursuit of each other here. Could be. But are we really, when we're here, are we pursuing God? When we're in life groups, are we pursuing Him together? I'm not saying that looks like we don't ever have fun or talk or joke or whatever. I'm not saying that. I don't think that's true. I think that's part of the pursuit of God. We've discovered that God's in all that. But are we really giving our best effort, man, to knowing and loving God? The world is watching. I read a devotional this past week that challenged me in this way. Man, look, we are our brother's keeper. This community needs to see us love God. I mean, they do. We need to get there. We need to pursue that with all we are because this community needs to see someone who loves God and who pursues God. And who's righteous because that's who we are, not because, you know, it's something God did in us. It's in our hearts to be that way. That our meekness and our humility and all the gifts of the Spirit are displayed in our lives because we are pursuing God. Man, we're coming to know Him and it's changing who we are on the inside. Okay, I hope that falls right. And I pray for you guys this morning before we spoke for that. Prayed this morning in our prayer time. I've been praying all week for different ones of you that God, that this would hit you right. But please take this seriously. This is a word from the Lord. We need to be pursuing Him. I mean, whatever that means for you, wherever you are not pursuing God, I know your heart is involved in what I'm saying and you desire it. So, man, ask God to empower that because He doesn't leave us without the power, according to chapter 8. His Spirit gives us not only the desire, but the power to accomplish this. He's changing our hearts and our minds to desire Him. His Spirit lives in us and pushes us that direction. So, man, just embrace that. And let's just really begin to see, man, in a deeper way, at a higher level, wherever you are, at a higher level of how awesome it is to know God and to walk with Him. I'm taking that challenge this week, and I don't want to be pursuing the wrong things. I don't want to be setting my treasures on this earth. You know, we already read the descriptions of what the kingdom of God is like. It's like a man who took his treasure and hid it in a field and went and sold everything he had and bought that field. So that's the question. How much are we selling of ourselves? Where's your treasure? And let's set our treasure in the kingdom. Let's put our treasure in heaven where nothing can destroy that. All right? Y'all with me? Okay, I'm going to pray for that this morning. Let's close. Father, I know your Spirit has communicated what needed to be heard today. And so, God, I ask right now that in this moment, that we will, even in this moment, pursue righteousness And that righteousness comes when your Holy Spirit reveals, Lord, to us something that we should be after. God, you have been faithful to put your Spirit in us, which is the spiritual hormone that we need to hunger and thirst after you. Thank you for that. Thank you for your Holy Spirit that lives in each one of us so that we don't have to have somebody stuff spiritual food down our throats. So that we don't have to have someone to take spiritual water and pour it in our mouths and hold our nose until we swallow it down, God. We've traded our ashes for your beauty. That's not you. And so right now, God, I pray that you will transition this body. All of us, God, teach us how to live this way and how to motivate one another to live righteous lives according to what you've done in our hearts. Father, if there's anyone here today that right now, as we've spoken, they have recognized that they don't have your Spirit living in them, that their spirit has not been transformed. Father, would you seal that in their minds right now? And don't let them rest until they surrender to you. Father, do your eternal work in the hearts of those people. Lord, I believe for the majority of us, we have been set free in Christ Jesus. And Lord, thank you, first of all, that you, the righteous requirements of the law, have been fully met in us through Jesus. But Father, you've also given us your Spirit. And if the Spirit of God dwells in us, then the Spirit is life and brings righteousness. You said that Jesus would, whom was risen from the dead, would give life to our mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in us. So do that. By your Spirit, help us to put to death the deeds of the body and live in this world as children of the kingdom. Lord, protect us from deception. Just help our eyes to be open to the reality of Satan's tools to rob us of this righteousness that we desire. And I pray that that'll be a witness to the community around us of the reality of who you are. We praise you for being our God and being patient with us. And we ask, God, that you move and work in us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.